Hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor who doubles an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and didn't work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiment. Today, we have the Fractional Chief Marketing Officer and Business Growth Consultant with 14 years of sales and marketing experience. She is the automations queen only because she loves the sales life. Her free-spirited lifestyle has her working smarter, not harder, because scaling a business should mean more freedom, not more stress. And I totally agree with her on this one. Today, we'll be exploring a topic that I feel isn't talked about enough, which is using email marketing analytics to make smart financial and marketing decisions. Hi, Tisi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here.
But first of all, before we go deep into the whole email and analytics talk, it's time for you to make a confession, Tisi. We're starting off with our open rates confession. So what do you consider your biggest email marketing flop/mistake?
Oh my God, I've made a series of mistakes when it comes down to email marketing, honestly. And I believe that those mistakes are like very tiny mistakes, but they're very costly mistakes, like very costly mistakes. Let me remember a most recent one. So before you start your email marketing process, system, ecosystem, whatever it is, certain best practices that you need to put in place, right? Like set up your account the right way, whatever tool you're using. So many people do not know that you need to set up those accounts the right way, put in your email services, you know, put in your sender name, sender email, all of those things. I mean, it's very, very important. Now, depending on what tool you use, setting up your email marketing platform is one of the best practices that basically set you up for success. Because take, for example, if you don't have a personalized setting, right, you just keep sending out random emails. And so what's basically differentiates you from the next person when people cannot connect with you on a personal level, right? That's just an example. Now, one mistake that I made a very, very recent was the fact that I just assumed that this particular new client of mine already had his email marketing tool set up. Why? Because he had somebody who initially have worked with it. And so I just assumed. So we built an entire email campaign. It had about 5 sequences. Each sequence had between 5 to 8 emails. Now, we also had SMS campaigns as well, same settings and timelines and all of that. Now, everything was set, ready to go. I was so excited. And thankfully, and I say thankfully because, I mean, we're able to save something, but it was one, like, my very most recent, and this thing I'm saying, it literally happened about, I think, 7-8 months ago, right? And it was very embarrassing. Now, what was embarrassing? The email went out, okay? Now, when the email went out, for some reason, the email went out as me. Yeah, no, that's tricky. It went out as me. It was not supposed to go out as me. It was supposed to go out as my client, right? Now, why did the email go out as me? I didn't do nothing. I didn't put nothing. Like, how did it happen? It was like the most embarrassing thing ever. And I'm like, what's happening? Now, this is me initially just assuming, oh, this happened. And immediately it happened. I just, you know, had to immediately fix it. I'll tell you how I was able to fix the issue, but it was very embarrassing, you know, because that was one mistake that I know that on a normal day, I would never, Like, even when I just started, I wouldn't even make that kind of mistake. But, you know, you get to a stage, you just feel very comfortable. I'd be like, oh, this is already done. Oh, this is already done. No.
Yeah.
You don't get too comfortable. Because you get to a stage in your career, you start to get comfortable. Listen, don't get comfortable. Always be on your toes. Because, hey, this thing is technology. It could hit you from any angle. Mm. And you got. Now, what was the moral story? Moral story is your email campaign test, it should never be anything you should assume. You should always test. Before an email goes out, before a campaign goes out, test. Even if you're so sure of yourself, even if you're like, test. Because there's so much magic and so much power in testing. Like, heavens no, I don't even know why I just assumed. I would typically not make such a mistake. But you know, life sometimes reminds you that you're human. When you forget it, it just brings you back and be like, come right here. You're still human, you know. And so it hits me. I was so embarrassed. I went back. I'm like, what would have happened? And then I saw what happened. Actually, whoever they set it up as, so when you log in into the account, it takes your name as the one who is working on it, right? Now, it wasn't set up to set my clients up as sender email. It was set up to use the username, right? So if I'm using the account, the entire platform, it takes my name. So any email going out at that particular time goes out with the person who is currently using it. Even if you're not even... you're not the one that set up the campaign, but you're using it at a particular time, it takes your name.
Wow.
It should have been set up as a default, my client's name at the sender name. But it wasn't. It was set up the other way. I'm like, who even does this creepy thing? Like, whoever does it doesn't even have this set up. Like, I was so angry. I was like, who does this? Why would you do this? But, I mean, I can't go meet the person. The damage has been done, yeah? My name is there. So how do I, you know? And even my clients, you know, noticed it. And he's like, don't worry, TC. Don't worry. It's not that. And I'm like, I was so angry because it was so embarrassing. But if only I had tested, I would have seen it. If only I wouldn't have to just assumed that it was done. And I would have just gone back to check. I would have avoided it. Right. So, you know, I said it to myself, I'm like, no more assuming, no more just thinking, you know, because you can't expect that everybody that calls themselves an expert is actually an expert and know what they're doing. Right. So, yeah, it hits me and I was so embarrassed. I was so upset. I didn't know what to do. I was almost crying because it was so embarrassing. But I fixed it though. And, you know, it went away and yeah, that's it.
I think this is like the wildest confession I've gotten so far, because I can't even imagine. It's the embarrassment, like the fact that they came to you like the expert, and
it was
like,
trust me,
oh wow,
it was crazy. I was just fortunate that, you know, I had a client who was, you know, brilliant, and you know, at least he's a bit tech savvy, so he knew it wasn't directly my fault, but apparently it was my fault, because if I tested and I just assumed, you know, I would have just avoided it.
Okay, that was a lot. We need to recover from that.
Yeah.
The moral of this story, like, we can't be too confident. When you were saying that, I was just nodding. I was just nodding because you really can't be too confident. So let's step it down. Let's step it down. This confession really threw us off our feet. So what does the automation queen do when she's not up all in systems and structures? What does she do for fun?
So I love to do all things fun, really. I used to dance, like dance in a group. But, you know, girls grew, girls started, I don't know. But we didn't do all of that anymore. But I love to just hang out in a safe space. I love to sing as well, in the choir in my church. So go for rehearsals. I love to travel a lot. I love to see new places, new things. I love to watch movies. I mean, I love all the fun things like life can literally bring my way, you know. But I also love my alone time as well. Yeah. I mean, I love everything good. And I love food. Oh my God, I love food. I could literally test new restaurants. Like, there's a stage in my life where I was literally checking, like, a new restaurant to come out, I'll go check out the new restaurant, check out their menu. I love good food. I love going to the restaurants. I love going to, like, restaurants. I love to dress up, go to restaurant, check out their new food. I love wine tasting as well. Yes, that's it.
You know, I used to do that thing. If a new place opens up and mm-hmm. it's my vibe, a certain mm-hmm. kind of atmosphere, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I should visit this place. And yeah, I'm not even interested in visiting like anybody. It's like, let's go, let's try out the food, let's see what they have. And when mm-hmm. you go there, you don't eat like regular stuff. You want to try out all the things that are just different. So you get to experience it. Exactly. That can be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling you, and then you'll be amazed and you'll be like, oh, wow, you know, really fun.
Yeah. All right. So let's now go back to email. Okay. So, mm-hmm. You know, you've been on this journey for a while. I mm-hmm. connected with you a really long time ago. I think it should be more than maybe back in 2020 or earlier. I can't remember. But mm-hmm. I know that I connected with you a long time ago and I've been on your email list, also tried out some of your programs. One thing that you have done is grow your list. So I want us to go back to like how you started out. So how did you actually, you know, grow your list? Because you've been at it for a while.
Mm-hmm. So there's a story to this, right? Because email marketing has not been like my thing like that. Like, it's not like I had any reservations about it. I just didn't think it was worth my time, right? And like I said, I always like things very simple. I love things very easy. Even the first few years of my business, used to be very big on socials, do all of those, because it's super easy to have all of these conversations on your DMs, right? But there's this thing that I was on Clubhouse, when Clubhouse was like Clubhouse, and I was on Clubhouse, and then we're just like networking and all of that. I know when you like start the networking, people want to go to your social media. People want to go to, you know, all those stuff, like connect with you, follow you and all of that. And then the next thing I heard was, you know, I started to hear, you know, like, what's happening? You know, when it was my turn. And I got like a couple of my, you know, acquaintances then just sent me a message in DMs and they're like, check your Instagram. Like, your Instagram is no longer, you know, there. And I'm like, it's not like that. What kind of statement is that? So I checked and I found out that my Instagram page was nowhere. Like, it was like disappeared. Like, I never existed. And I'm like, what's happening? I mean, I didn't know what to do. I was very frustrated. You know, I was even like, I had to go off the stage and I was crying. Like, yeah, I was crying because I was like, what am I supposed to do? But prior to that, I used to have like people would sign up casually. Like, it was just casual because it was something that I used to do for my clients. So it was just automatic that I had the email stream, right? But I never used it really because I didn't see a need for that. And so when that happened, you know, I think I had maybe like 20-something people or 17 people. I can't remember, but it was pretty around that number. And so I'm like, how do I reach these people? Where do I even start from? I mean, I needed to at least communicate to say, oh, this is what's happening, you know, so that my clients then will not think that maybe I have disappeared into thin air or anything. I mean, I know they won't. Good number of them had my number, but, you know, I just didn't want to just disappear that way, you know? And so I immediately just sent an email, right? I went to my my system. Because one thing I would always do is structure my things, right? So I just went there, wrote an email, urgent, all of those, boom, it went out. And you know the very interesting part is that I had good responses. Like people were like, oh my God, and the communication was beautiful. I enjoyed the communication, actually. And I sat down and I'm like, okay, this is good. And then we're going back and forth. And it wasn't such a big deal like I thought it was going to be. You know, with the email correspondence and all of that, it wasn't such a, you know, stress that I thought it was. But I just still didn't do anything about it, really. And so I tried trying to get my Instagram page back, all of those things, but it still wasn't working. You know, I got very, very frustrated, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to try to create another account or do anything. Let me just send these people a message because you know what? Business has to go on. I didn't want to build a business that was a social media business. No, my business was a business that was touching life, was changing lives. And so I didn't want it to be dependent on social media, right? I wanted it to be a business that is dependent on people and people are dependent on it. And so I sat down. This is after I had my husband talk me in and he's like, that guy can preach when exactly when I don't need his preaching. But he gave his sermon and he's like, you know, blah, 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 and all of that. And I'm like, there's so much sense. So, you know, I stopped crying and I stopped, you know, trying to get another account back. I remember what he said. He said, how about you just start from where you are? You know, and I'm like, these people, like, just start with them. And so what I did was go back. I went through my data. But the good part was these people were quality people. These people were people who were literally interested in what I had. I would send them messages, random emails every now and then, but nothing concrete, right? And so I had to sit down because they were the only ones I had now. I know I had LinkedIn, I had all of those, but those were not my marketplace then, right? So I just like, okay, what do I do? All right, what do I do? And so I had to sit down. I looked at my data. With my data, I was able to design a strategy. So I'm like, okay, you know what? How about I use these people to get more people? So I created the We Engagement campaign to those 20-something people. I think this time something, yeah. And, you know, I was encouraging them to invite more people to my email list. I also, you know, started to invite more people because then I created a lead magnet so I'm able to get more people. But I also put in, like, really strict pre-qualifying process because I didn't just want any kind of persons, right? I just didn't want, you know, unnecessary people in my space. And that's why even till date, my LinkedIn, my Instagram, I still remove people, especially when I start to feel like, okay, you know what? You don't need what I have. You don't even want it. You don't want to be a part of my community. So why are you taking up space? I just gracefully remove you. Not because I'm upset or I don't know. I'm just like, hey, I'm trying to save you that energy to consume what you don't need. So I just remove you. So the same way I don't like unnecessarily people in my space. Like, if you don't need it, you don't need to be there. I am one person that would say, don't consume what you don't need. Right? So I will help you make that decision. So I'm like, no, I didn't want that. And so I was strict with my pre-qualifying process, right? And I was trickling down, was getting more people every now and then. And it was growing, you know. And so I was growing gradually. I think before I launched the program that literally set me up for good, I got to like 97. But between that period, I was going through like my data, trying to figure out what they wanted. I pushed out surveys. I want to see where people are. Wanted to see what they were doing. I wanted to even know who were and what their, you know, status were, you know. I'm really more about the quality than quantity. because I know, right, how good I am with what I do, I'm always very intentional. And so I had about 97, right? So when I tell people I drew my list and then boom, it was 97. Some people were expecting me to say maybe 10,000. No, I did not raise 10,000. 97. So I grew to 97, technically. But it wasn't a number that was a determinant to what I push out. It was the activities, the behaviors. And when I saw what I saw from the behavior, I knew I had to push out something, because I realized that the categories of people in my space can give me the kind of money that I want. Now, everybody targets different things, right? I target value, quality, and an efficient use of my time. If I'm going to do a work that is going to pay me, for example, 5,000, right? And I do it for 1 hour, I don't care what you're saying. It's paying me like that. That for me to have a chunk load of people in my space, and at the end of 3 months, all I get is 1,000. I don't want that. Like, I'm not trying to impress nobody aside from God and myself. Even God doesn't want me to impress him. He just wants me to do what's right. I want me to stay true to the promises that he has put in. Like, literally, he has put me in that space. He's given me the skills. He's given me everything I need. Now, he wants me to stay through to it and do, like, literally use what he has given to me. Yep. And so, hey, the only person I need to please is myself and I. And so when I feel like, okay, you know what, I don't want to have to take a truckload of people, and because I didn't even have that mental capacity at that particular time. My goal was to make money, right? My goal was to give the value, make the money, and then re-strategize myself, pending when maybe I figure out what next to do with the socials and all of that. Because I needed a space where I could keep getting traffic, you know, the credibility and all of that, right? Which is very important for any business and every business. So I set a goal for myself. And when I saw the category of people in my space, I then pushed out a program. Now, the program that I pushed out was not targeting everybody. It was targeting 97 people in my space. Now, is it the whole 97? Not technically, but it was targeting a certain people who I knew that I just need to sign one contract with this person. I'm able to make 30,000. I'm able to make this amount. I'm able to make this amount. And that's what I did. Now, what I did was thankfully, right, the people who are retargeting, it connected with them, because that's the thing with your data, right? Once you're able to read your data well, it helps you to strategically target. And you won't miss your target, I promise you, especially when you're thorough, you know, with your analysis and all of that, and making your decisions as well. So I then pushed out that program, and just one person that signed up gave me 30,000. Yes. And the 30,000 was within a period of 12. It was 12 weeks. It was a program. And the program was actually meant for me to help them solve their problem, which was more expertise and capacity. Now, I signed the contract for 12 weeks, but the same contract was extended. So it went from 12 weeks to 6 months to 1 year. So you can do the math. That's just one person. Now, I had to build my team, the current team that I had. I started building them up from that just one contract. Now, I had two more persons who signed up, wasn't the 30K. I think one did 5,000, the other one did 10. Right. But it was a 30 for me, because that was the yardstick that I used. And I'm like, boom, this is it. And every communication we were having were just emails. It was just strictly emails, right? Until the last time where we had to do the kickoff session. And that was it. And when I tell people I just use 97 subscribers to get that amount, I mean, that's just like the base of what it is. That's not every other thing that came with it, right? And sometimes some people be like, oh, that's not true. That's true. The question is, what kind of offers are you pushing out? Who are you pushing it out to? right? Those are the questions you need to ask. It's not about how many people you have. It's the quality of the people and their needs. The offer you have currently, is it a solution to somebody's problem? People don't necessarily have the money to give you. Why? It's not because they don't have the money, but it's because, you see, money is very tricky, right? There's so much to do with your money. And so it's not like maybe I have money one place and then you now come and meet me and be like, take, oh, I don't have anything. There's always a need for money. Now, when people work with you, especially as a service provider, it is because you are an investment. Now, they are investing in the solution that you have for them. Now, when people work with you, they see you more as an investment. It's not because they have the money somewhere, right? So when you make people see you as an investment, then it changes everything. Now, when you come right in front of the people and connect with them on that personal level, that's what I was able to deduce, right? Because I was then able to come in front of my people at that personal level where they were and was able to understand what exactly they wanted. And I just gave them what they wanted. And in return, they paid for it, right? Now, there are so many branches to the project, obviously. But the most important thing was that I realized how much I was missing from not using email marketing the right way. And that's how I started. Now, was I in a hurry to grow my list to 1 billion email subscribers? I don't care about the numbers. I'm not interested. See, I would remove you after I walk you through the whole engagement space and you're not engaging. If you're not engaging, if you're not communicating with me, if you're not even saying hi, TC, I will gracefully remove you because I don't want you taking up space that is not good for you. Not even for me. It's not good for you. I don't want to be in your inbox taking up space. So I just remove you. Now, that's how I do. I'm not saying do the same thing. But my point is, I'm always very big on quality than quantity because I believe that once you're able to master your people, understand where they are, what solutions they need, you get them to take the actions that you want them to take. I hope that answers your question.
All right. So listening to that story, I mean, I'm awed and it's so inspiring. First of all, I mean, when you said the 97 and then you said, you know, not 10,000, right? Because everybody just expects you to say, and then I grew my list and you just want to hear like a really large number, really huge. But it's not just the fact that you grew your list by 97 people, which a lot of people will feel like, oh, that's so small compared to like the stories we hear out there. It's the fact that you were able to look at the behavior of these people and actually monetize and keep doubling the revenue you were bringing in from these people in like 3 months. And then, you know, you just kept topping it up from there. And I think that that's the power of email marketing that a lot of people don't even understand and don't know. They don't understand how it works. They just hear people's stories, but they don't know what it is that they are doing. And I'm so glad that you shared this story with us because a lot of people rely solely on sales data when making decisions. But now, instead of just looking at sales data from like, let's say, ThriveCart, MainStack, or whatever other tool you're using to sell, it wasn't even just the sales data. You look at everything, right? So you went from what the people were reacting to, what they were interacting with, and all of that. And I'm just curious, right? In doing all of this, does this involve like a lot of Google Sheets and chats? Because you kept saying I'm a data girl. So let's know what we are up against.
Here's the thing. I know that so many people will be waiting for huge technicalities, right? But one thing I realized in my few years of, you know, being a professional is the fact that when it comes down to marketing and sales, it's the simplest thing, right? I know that for social media, we kind of exaggerate things to make it look like it's very big, right? But the truth is that it's the simplest things that actually get the best results. It's true that I said I love data, but I'm not into coding, right? Because what this includes is that the people who code basically give me the raw data to read it and make business decisions on it, right? So no, I am not a data scientist. No, what I do is use the numbers in identifying the interactions and then using it in making business decisions,
right? Now, this is what happened. No, it didn't include so many Excel or all of that. No, actually, I'm a partner of Kids, which was ConvertKids. I started with them since they were ConvertKids, right? I'm actually currently a partner with them right now. And when I started off, that's basically what I started off with. And I'm still using it till now, in as much as I do have a white labeled CRM that I use for my academy, but I still use this for my business, right? And that's because when I see something that works, I don't just trash it up because a new trend is up. No, I use it. Now, this is the way I work. I mean, different people would have different ways to do their things, right? Now, for me, it didn't include so many Excel sheets and all of that. No, it was just me bringing my data, right? Downloading them and understanding the times people were reacting, what they were reacting to. So I had a strategy basically that helped me. So every time I get this data, I further go back to qualify my data by pushing out feedbacks, right? I'm pushing out maybe surveys just to get their feedbacks, right? And then I use that in also, because the thing about email marketing is that you get clearer as you properly segment, as you streamline your whatever data you're getting, you get clearer with the decisions you need to make, right? Now, it didn't warrant me using Excel sheet or no, it just was for me to be able to understand what every single number, every single action was saying. So I didn't have to do, I know, right? I know people like to tell you so that you just say, oh, I spent 1 billion hours and I sat down and it just came to me, boom. And then the spirit, no, it did not, nothing like that, right? It's just understanding the behaviors of my customer by reading through with their interactions, what they wanted, how they were working and how they were viewing certain things. Just through with the data, that's all.
Okay, so since we are looking at the data, right, what metrics were you looking at? What were you tracking? Especially because today, there are metrics people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's not important, you know, and all of those. So what were you really looking at to be able to read the subscribers?
So here's the thing, right? There are different examples of how magical understanding your data with my clients, right? But every time I want to tell a story about the power of leveraging your email marketing analytics, I want to use my own story first because mine is very typical. I mean, if I tell people about my 97 subscribers, they're like shocked, right? I don't like to give the numbers of the 10,000, the 20,000 because I feel like that's easier. When you understand that with less than 100 email subscribers, you can actually have a steady income that would not make you shaking about maybe your house rent or your children's fees or your lifestyle or this. I feel like that's where the intentionality comes in. Now, personally for me, I went from start to finish, right? And I would say that when it comes down to email marketing, every data is important. Okay. First things first, you want to be sure that you're using a cloud-based automation tool for your email marketing so that you can further look into the hidden data, you know, like how many people clicked on this link, right? At what time did they click on the link, right? When they click on the link, what did they do next, you know? But that's still even farther. That's still even further down, right? Personally, for me, I would always say, start from the very beginning. If people don't see your emails, they don't open your emails. If they don't open your emails, they can't read the content. If they don't read the content to understand, they can't click. And if they don't click, they can't buy. They can't even give you no feedback, right? So for me, the first magic was get people to receive your emails. Get people to see the emails that, okay, you know what? TC just sent me an email. That's what you get with the deliverability rate, right? Make sure that all of your emails are getting in the front of people. First things first, because they need to see that, oh, even if they're upset that you're sending them 1 billion emails, at least they know and they're aware that you just sent them an email. That's the first victory, right? Your emails need to be delivered first. You don't want to get your emails being bounced. Sometimes I was in a session the other day and then one woman was like, no, email marketing isn't meant for me and blah, 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 blah. And then she just kept talking and kept talking and kept talking. Personally, for me, I don't tell them to stop. No, I just let them say whatever they want to say. And then when they were done, I say what I have to say. And then she's talking and then, you know, you could feel in the room, certain people started having doubts, you know. And when she was done, I'm sure in her mind, she had actually said something that made sense. And so when she was done, I said, okay, I get it. I mean, money is not meant for everybody. Good life isn't meant for anybody. So I shouldn't be shocked that email marketing is not meant for anybody. I mean, it doesn't have to be good for everybody, because even if good health is good for everybody, it doesn't mean that everybody will achieve good health. So what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Right? And so I said to her, I said, break it down for me. Tell me what your typical process is when you set up your email marketing campaign. And she's like, well, I just send them an email. And I laughed. I said, so when you send them an email, what happens then? And she's like, nobody says anything. Nobody responds. Nobody does this. And I said, okay, so how do you know that nobody says anything? I said, because nobody buys anything. And I'm like, how do you know that nobody buys anything? Because I don't get to see the money. And I'm like, I just started laughing. I said, first things first, what tool do you use? And she's like, I send them using my Gmail account. And I said, okay. So how do you know that they even saw the email in the first place? And she's like, aren't they supposed to see it? I said, no, let me show you something. And so I opened, I think it was her CRM. I think she was using Keep. And so opened her Keep. And I said, so you see all of these people? We had about 50-something percent bounced. So it means that all of the 50-something percent, how many people does she have on her list? You needed to see the way the entire mouth was just like opened. And I said, first things first, your Gmail wouldn't do the work for you. You're just sending a normal email. You cannot set up an email campaign. You can't even set up an automation. You can't do nothing using that. It's not possible. That depicts the entire piece. And you know, I didn't hear a word from her until the end of the session. For me, I would say all of it. Start from getting them to see your email. Because once they see your email, they can open your email. Once they open your email, they can read your content. Once they read your content, they can click on the link. So from your deliverability rate, to your open rate, to your CTR, to your conversion rates, to your all of it, all of those metrics, they are essentially making those decisions.
That's so great. So it follows the whole journey, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So from the very beginning all the way to the end, you're monitoring the journey, you're seeing, you know, at what point you have drop-offs, at what point you're seeing spikes, all of those, so that you see what's working and what's not working. I love it. Now, you talked about the tool that they were using, right? One person using Keep, which is pretty high level. Another person says it's Gmail, which, I mean, we don't consider it tool anyways in this particular instance. But I'm just wondering, in terms of integrating analytics into your campaign and being able to get, you know, really good data beyond the email software and what it gives us, what other tools are we looking at?
When it comes down to tools, I'm always very skeptical. You know, just these few weeks, I've had different new platforms reaching out to me to promote their tool and do all of that. But I'm always very thrown back with that, because I always used to say that I'm not loyal to any tool. As long as you work, I work with you. If you don't work, I go to what works for me, right? Now, when it comes down to tools, this is what I would say. Use a tool that is in alignment with your objective. So before you choose a tool, find out what exactly you want the tool to do for you, right? And also figure out what your budget looks like if you're just starting off your business. It's important that you know that to build up such data that will help you make a decision could take a good number of time, like maybe like 3 months. Why I was able to get that result, because remember, like I said, these were a chunk load of my already existing clients, right? So it was easier because I already have previous data about them. I just needed to do one or two steps more and I could get results. So if you're just starting off and you want to leverage email marketing, don't think you're going to do 1 month and you're able to get informed decisions to take that next step. Personally, for me, I don't like to give anybody hopes. It cannot work. At least 3 months to test any strategy, right? Now, with your tools, if you're just starting off, I wouldn't recommend Kit or ActiveCampaign. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying those tools aren't good. I'm just saying that if you're just starting off, you would just stress out trying to figure out those things. And I don't think you would leverage it as much as you should, because your workflows wouldn't be as robust as to wanting to use platforms like Kit. You won't use it the way you're supposed to use it. So if you're starting off, try out tools like maybe ConvertKit, which is Kit now. MailerLite is a good one. MailerLite would, if you're starting off, especially with lead generation, if you want to get leads and you want to find out, okay, you know what, well, what kind of products do you guys like? What kind of services do you want? You know, what do you want? What kind of container? What kind of packages? You know, what kind of offers? Those kind of, you want to get those kind of answers, right? MailerLite is a good one. I see that MailChimp is really updating themselves right now. Yeah, they're really like topping the chart. The other day I was working a client through MailChimp and I'm like, oh, okay, there's another update. All right, that's good. And so you want to try MailChimp, right? There are a good number of them. There's this tool that, listen, there's so many of them, okay? There's so many of them. You just need to make sure that it's cloud-based and it aligns with your objectives. That's why I said, understand what you want to achieve first, right? Then you can get a tool that works it. But if you're starting off, start with all of this. There's so many of them out there. There is Blodex, right? Yeah. There's just a whole lot of them, right? And they're easy, they're affordable, and they can still give you what you need to level up, right? Before you start to go with the big guys. Right. So yeah.
Definitely. So now, you know, we've shared your story, but I don't think people understand, or our listeners understand, just how big of an error you can make or how much you can lose when you don't leverage your data, when you don't read it right. So let's go into the story of the project you worked on for the nonprofit, right? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they need to hear it so they see the good side. And then they see what happens when you don't do that. Because a lot of people just send emails and it's like, oh, we're sending 3 emails a week and that's good. And you just keep sending. Then sometimes you ghost. And, you know, it's just that love-hate relationship with email marketing. But Synchronicity and how we can swing both ways, if not done properly, I think it'll be a wake-up call for people to begin to do the needful. So can you tell us that story?
For me, that's a really sad story. You know, it's a really sad story because, I mean, this is a nonprofit organization. You know how hard it is to bid for grants, you know, and all of that. And then after getting the grants, you literally just lose all of it. Now, here's the backstory. They got this money, right? They got this grants. And you know the way this thing works, usually when you're bidding for grants, especially as a nonprofit, it's more or less tailored into a certain project, right? And so maybe say you want to do, so let me give an example because it's a confidential stuff and I don't want to like talk about, give like, you know, details, it's all like, right? And so let's, for example, okay, you know, I wanted to do like skill acquisition. Right. And so skill acquisition to teach maybe young students on how to get the best out of themselves and all of that. And so this was the bid that the grant was really all about. And so they won the bid. This nonprofit won the bid, which was, you know, I think right now when you tell people or when you tell, I want to, certain topics look like the most interesting topics people want to leverage, right? And so topics like, oh, make money online or do this, you just automatically think that that is the right thing. But we forget that what our audience wants is what is right, not what anybody else wants. because these are the people who are going to consume this thing, not somebody outside, right? So this was the problem. What they did was, I wasn't there, right? But I came in because they got stranded, right? Now, they got stranded because nobody was signing up. And for you to be able to give, after you have like reports and say, okay, you know what, this is what I did it for, just so that they're able to, you know, give you more and all of that. And then nobody signed up, right? There is no trace that any event was done. Now, when it comes down to planning programs, especially all of this number, you hire people, right? And yeah. So consultants have been hired, people have been hired, marketing pieces have been done, social media has been booming, all of these things, but nobody signed up, right? And yeah. So I remember the founder was like almost losing it. Like she was almost losing it. She didn't know what to do. And she's like, TC, what do I do? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. We just need to find out. I mean, I'm not a magic wand. I didn't know what exactly the problem was. Because from afar, you think this is like a beautiful stuff. And when I went back into their ecosystem and I looked at what they've been doing, and I realized that people actually didn't want what they were pushing out. Now, I think it was between 10 to 20,000. The good part was, I think they gave them 50% mobilization, right? Then after the event, after report and all of that, give the rest and all of it. And that's where you then pay for, you know, other things that you've done and all of it. But I think the point was, it was very disappointing. You know, like, how do you tell your sponsors now that this was a flop? But we didn't know what to do. So I said to her, I said, okay, you know what? Let's even find out what exactly happened. And so we went in there. And then I realized that averagely, actually, they had about, I think it was 67 open rates, which was good. And so you would think that when I tell you the other metrics, it would be positive. Now, what 67% open rate was saying is that they had engaged audience, people who are interested in what they do. However, okay, down below, most times you can have like zero click rate. Sometimes you have like 1 point something. Averagely, I think it was like 0 point something. And then when you go through website tabs, all of those things, then we realized that there's a problem. And so I said, okay, you know what? Let's push out the campaign. There's a 14-day campaign that basically asks these people, what exactly do you want? Just tell us, you know, tell us, what do you want? And the shocking part was that these people actually wanted, they was more like a women health something. And then it dawned on me that, hold on a bit, let's even find out who these people really are. And then we checked, we realized that almost 60-something% of these people were women, right? Now, that tailors with the fact that they were interested in the women health, women this, right? Now, the 67% shows that these people are interested in the organization. But looking at the other metrics, it showed that what you are giving them is what they don't want. What you're giving them, they love you, but right now, that is not what they want. So they cannot click. They cannot attend. They cannot share because they don't want it. It's not like they don't like you. They like you, but they don't want it. Now, when we read through every single scene, like we literally just sat down there. It took us like days, you know, going back and forth, trying to analyze. I think on the third day, I just said to her, I said, there's no point. Okay, you know what? At this juncture, let's just test out what this was saying. And so we tested out two topics. One was on women, something, monogamy, something, all those kind of things. But it was more around women wellness and all of that. Do you know that out of a 2,000 plus subscribers, we literally had over 427 signups.
Wow.
And these were the same people who the last time, that they didn't even, nobody even signed up. And these, they signed up within just 7 days. And so I sat down and said, so what do we do now? I mean, this is not why you bid for the grant. What do you do? because obviously you have your answer. And she's like, Cece, can we change it? I'm like, I don't know. What do you want to do? So I said, you know what? The most important thing is that you're solving a problem. I mean, that's what I think. The most important thing is that you have proof, right? That you did something. Now, the 10,000 something obviously is a waste to my point, because all the work they've been doing, they didn't use it for nothing, right? And yeah. So what she had to do was then, because there was no social media, all of that, all of the subscribers were just from emails. Because that was not the plan. So there was really no time and no resource to start saying, push out ads, do this, do that. But like I said to her, 400 and something is a good number. Now, let's just plan this event around these people. The best thing we can do is better that we do something that we do nothing. Right? Now, we plan the event around these people. If we can get, even if it is, you know, a good number of people who join the event, that's a steal. And, you know, the very funny part is that we had over, I think we had over 200 and something stay to the very end. I mean, I was there making sure that I see to the end of this. And we had over 200 and something stay to the very end of that event, because then we had to get figures who obviously we didn't get to pay, you know. So I just said, you know what, just get your friends who will talk about women and all of that, because there was no money to pay anymore, right? But we needed to do something, because you needed to justify the amount that was given to you if you wanted the remaining part, right? And yeah. So that was basically how we were able to come out of all of that. And, you know, she sent the report. They were happy. Apparently, there were like two women in the panel, and those women were very happy that that was the conversation, right? The monogamy and blah, 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 and all of that, you know? And so apparently that's like a theme like women really wanted, right? And so they were happy, and she got the remaining balance, and she's like, oh my gosh, TC. So does it mean that I just wasted, you know, all of those money? And I said, at least you got the balance. She's like, but I didn't make no money. And I'm like, at least you didn't lose no money, because it's better that way. Because do you know how your image would have been tarnished? Because you would show up as a scam, right? Would lose money, show up as a scam. No one else would ever trust you. But now these people are happy with you, even though it's only us. I mean, we can go on social media and do whatever we want to see and see how much we made, but only us know that you lost money, right? But nobody else knows. Tomorrow, you are on their top list for another grant. So I feel like it's a win-win, right? And I could see that she had like this sad face.
Wow. That was just a lot to unpack. Seeing all the things that she was at risk of losing, all because of something that went wrong down the line that wasn't noticed. And I really love how you took out time to begin to go through it step by step. And I'm just wondering, right? Because this is a whole process. I mean, it took you over 3 days. I think you said the campaign ran for like 7 days, right? So yeah. You did 7 days. That's already like 10 days then, plus maybe extra that you would have used. And all it was just to unpack, do the survey, find out what went missing. So I'm just thinking, right? In terms of the survey now, were we doing like surveys where people were clicking to indicate interest, or they were replying to give feedback?
We actually played it both ways, right? So the first one was the feedback. So when we got the feedback on the topics, then we pushed out another survey to help them indicate what topic itself sparked their interest. So yeah, we did it both ways.
So now, one of the things that we're seeing here is that a quiet list is not necessarily a dead list.
No.
Where it's like nothing seems to be working. Because from the first lady you talked about, is like she was sending emails. She felt she was doing email marketing. She wasn't seeing response. And then we have this other person, zero signups. I mean, you know what it means to have zero signups. It means not even one person, maybe your friend, saw it and said, let me just sign up. It can be quite devastating and, you know, emotionally damaging. But now we're just seeing how everything just changed, right? We used the whole data to realign the campaign, and all of a sudden it was like, where have you people been all our lives? But yeah, so I'm just like, so a quiet list is not necessary a dead list. So just to simplify what it is you've said, can you give us top three steps for taking a quiet list into active and engaged like you've done here? So from what you said, top three steps.
This is the thing, right? First, we need to figure out what exactly we want to achieve. You know, I always like us starting with getting clear with our objective. Are you interested in turning these people back? What are your expectations from these people? Do you really want them to engage with you? I mean, if your answer is yes, then I would say create a re-engagement campaign. Now, your re-engagement campaign basically has what I say, you getting to learn more about these people, wanting to know what exactly they want, right? Do you actually even want to keep being here? Because sometimes some people don't want to be here, but they don't know that they don't want to be here no more, right? They don't know why they're there, right? They don't know why exactly am I here in the first place, right? So get people to know, okay, hey, I see you. You're still here. Do you still want to be here? And if they say, you know, obviously you're going to push out a feedback panel or a survey just to get them to show their interest of wanting to be in your space. So if they say, yes, I want to be here, then they move to the next stage. All right. That's why I said this cannot play out with your Gmail, because you want to make sure that once they show that interest and say, okay, you know what? Yes, I'm interested in being here. They go to the next stage, right? Which now takes them to saying, okay, you know what? This is why you're here. This is what we're doing. Tell me what you would want, or rather, what are your expectations? What would you like to learn? This is what we're working on, right? How do you want to hear from us? Do you want to, are you interested in this? Because now when it comes down to your re-engagement campaign, it's more about them and not you, right? It's more about you wanting to know what exactly is going through these people's mind, right? Now, when they go into the next stage and they show their interest, you want to push out what I call, you know, your feedback survey or whatever you want to call it. It's just more or less to give them that whole energy that you listen to them and whatever you're doing is because of them, right? And you want to know how you can better serve them. Now, before you want to create that product or that service, remember, it's important that there are people who are interested in that product or that service. If people are not already excited about that service or that product, or they are not engaged waiting for it, please don't go ahead and build that product. I see so many people, they already have bought Zito products, and the next thing is like, I'm not selling Zito product. And I'm like, who are you going to sell it to? Who? And then the next thing, oh, I'm not getting sales. And I'm like, yeah, you're not getting sales because who are you selling it to? You don't have nobody to sell it to. Who told you they wanted a digital product from you? Did anybody say so? Right? And so you want to make sure that you have people who are already excited waiting before. Know what these people want from you. Know how they want it from you. Right? Now, when you've gotten that back to, it's a conversation. Now, with all of this thing, now so many people, when your list is silent, it goes two ways. Sometimes when you leave your list for a very long time, it could be dead. It could, it's not dead. It could expire. Now, you can save some part of it. Sometimes you might have to erase some part of it because it's been left for a very long time. Why? Because some people might have changed the emails. Some emails might have been blacklisted. Some emails might have been, not being used. Anything can happen. So it's not like solely your fault. I mean, people change, people evolve, people relocate, people do things. Life move on, right? But you just want to make sure that you are, you know, in alignment with your audience. So that's basically, so when you go through that step, now by the end of your re-engagement campaign, you should have enough information. At the end of whatever strategy you're using, my last step is usually review, analyze it, and test, right? You want to be able to test what you've done, because, I mean, I'm not going to buy the product. They're going to buy it, right? So if they say, you know what, I want this, make sure you test it. See their level of excitement. See how they're able to, you know, jump at it before you then push it out, right? When you've worked your audience in that manner, subsequent launches that you have will become easier.
Wow, wow, wow. That's such a wonderful framework. Now, let me tell you guys something. You have heard these process, but if you want to see it, so seeing how TC segments her list, seeing how she actually does email performance analysis, seeing how she optimizes for return on investment for your email marketing efforts so that you can generate more sales, even seeing how she sets up A/B testing for better conversion, more sales, and of course, learning how to build your email list in the first place so that you can have people who are telling you what they want so that you can create accordingly, then let me invite you to join her email marketing mastery building, blueprint rather, because in this blueprint, everything she has said here, you get to see the visual of it and you get to learn it directly from her and all of that, right? So the link would definitely be in the show notes for you. shop.cc, that's cecebusinesssolutions.com/email marketing mastery. The link is in the show notes, because you see all of this goodness, all of this tea, you have to implement it. And if this podcast is not enough for you, you should get the email marketing mastery blueprint just so that you have zero excuses in implementing this. I know a lot of us have not, you know, read our analytics and taken into consideration a number of these things, but it's never too late to start. And there's always an opportunity to optimize. So TC, in your experience, what would you say is the most overlooked email metric that can drive financial decisions?
I would say for me, for my experience, it would be between the deliverability rate and the open rates. Now, this is why I say so. With the deliverability rate, has a lot to do with their traffic source. So many people feel like, I'm just going to buy leads and plug them into my email list. And I forget that that's a waste of time, especially because you're talking to people who don't know you. You don't put those cold leads into your email list. If you want to do cold outreach, that's different. They don't belong to your list. They belong somewhere else. That's a different strategy on its own. You don't put them into your ecosystem yet, right? And so many people just take that for granted. And they just want to just get those leads. They're not bothered about how they get people into their ecosystem, what kind of people get their lead magnets. You know, there's no pre-qualifying strategy to get the right people in. And so the deliverability rate says a lot about the quality of people that comes in. Now, the open rate further solidifies on your deliverability rate, because, I mean, if they receive all my emails, for example, if they have seen, why they're not opening? Why are they on my email list when they're not opening? Why do I keep having a 10% open rate? Some people don't even think about it. Like, it means that a chunk load of the people who are there do not like what you have. In short, they're not even interested in being curious. Right? I would take that for granted a whole lot. So, and I know that so many people do not take into account that deliverability rate, because if your deliverability rate is good, it means your traffic source is amazing, right? If it's getting into their inbox, it means the way you set up your email marketing ecosystem is good. Because some people do not know that you need to set up your email marketing platform to work for you the right way. Some people do not know that they need to put certain security in place. Some people do not know that they need to put certain policies in place, right? And they think it's just about writing emails and boom, I send it out. No. There's several things you need to create a structure within your email marketing ecosystem for you to be able to say, okay, you know what? Now I'm ready to send out these emails so that my emails don't get blocked, so that people don't block me, or so that my domain don't get blacklisted. Right. So that initial setup, I know that So many people don't know that it's a thing, but you cannot say you have a home when, you know, everywhere is chaotic. How can you breathe when your home is chaotic? Nothing productive ever comes from chaos. You know, so even before we start to talk about click rates, before we start to talk about quick rates, conversion rates, they'll first of all open the email first now. I think that's it for me.
Great. Now, I want to flip this question a bit. If you could pick one metric to focus on, what will it be?
That's a hard one, because for me, I'll be like, all of the metrics are important. You know, I just feel like all of it kind of affects one another. Okay, so maybe if you ask me to pick one, everything is important.
Then I think everything has the answer.
I mean, you know why? Because if I say your email click rate, right, I'll be lying. If I say your click rate is the most important, I'll be lying, because people need to open your emails before they get to that. People need to be sure that your content, right, your message in your email body needs to convey the message for them to be able to click, right? If I say it's the open rate, if people don't see the emails, they can't open it. So there, I'm lost. I don't know which one to pick. I'm like, everything is important.
All right. You guys are hearing that. Everything is important. Now, we talked about a quiet list and a dead list. Is there any one thing that differentiates a quiet list from a dead list? So, for example, someone has like an email list, they're not really getting responses. How do they know that it's just quiet and not dead? Or how do they know that it's dead and not quiet?
Oh, okay. So when you have people open your emails for a start, it's not dead. When they open the emails, it's not dead. At least if you have 30-something, even if you have 20-something%, which is not a good rate, but even if you have 20-something, it's not dead, right? You just need to do proper segmentation and, you know, better re-engage them, but it's not dead. There's still so much hope, right? They're just silent because maybe you're yet to trigger them. You're yet to give them what they want. But you see, a dead list, gosh, literally I've seen a dead list before. Listen, you won't even see nothing. It would look like you're speaking to yourself. Nobody would open. Like, you will send out emails. No one will open it. No open, no nothing. You know the way it will bounce back at you. You'll be like, God is good. You know, so, yeah, there's a huge difference. Even if you have just 20-something%, it's not dead. It's just silent. So it means you just need to work it. A dead list, nobody would respond to you. They won't even open it.
True, true, true. I definitely agree. Now, there's a word you have been dropping throughout the whole of this conversation. You keep saying what proper that? Segmentation. You just have to segment it. Proper segmentation. You just have to segment your list. A lot of times when people talk about segmentation, they focus on maybe revenue, frequency, monetary. I think I've missed what the R is. But they focus on like engagement in terms of maybe active segment and inactive. But you've been saying, you know, proper segmentation. And so when you say proper segmentation, what exactly do you mean?
And you have to go like way in depth. To make segmentation easy for you, you could go in different ways. You can segment based on your source, segment based on the geography, segment based on the gender, depending on what you're selling. I love source because I want to know where my sweet leads are coming from, you know, so I know where to focus my marketing, my, you know, lead generation, right? So you can segment based on that. You can segment based on their interest. So, for example, you want to craft out lead magnets. Make sure that you have certain segmentation structure in place. You could use either maybe certain keywords. You can use tags. You could use, depending on the tools that you have, you can create like different segments and have like different tags. So you can have like a segment of people, a segment of interest, and specific interested options as well. So when I mean proper segmentation, I mean like go deep into what these people really want, who these people really are. Now, so if you go through with your source, for me, when I segment based on source, I want to know, okay, you know what? The people from LinkedIn, for example, when they click, right, and they come into my CRM, I know that they are from LinkedIn. Now, over time, I know, okay, these people, I'm offering them this because this is what I'm talking about, and this is why they're here. Now, I also have pre-qualifying questions that better gets them aligned with why they're there, right? And I also have other welcome sequence as well that reminds them that, hey, this is why you're here, and you know you can always leave if you want to leave. So it's not me being hard. It's just me saying that, understand why you're here so that you know what kind of information you're receiving, right? Now, it also helps them with maximizing their expectations as well, right? I mean, people who really want to be in your space don't want you to waste their time, and they know why they're there. Just make sure that you understand these people. Your segmentation is to help you better understand how you can support these people from your timing. You can even segment based on time if you want. If you have different people and time zones in your space, you can also segment based on timing, right? Just so that you're also able to send them emails at the right time. Because if emails are not being sent at the right time, people might miss your emails. Remember, you're not the only one sending emails to them, right? So I would say it depends on what your objectives are again. That would help you to figure out how to better segment. I hope that answers it.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very important. I like that you broke it down, especially when you talked about source, because I remember that, I mean, I didn't do it in my email marketing, but for one of my products, I remember setting up questions to let me identify beyond like UTMs and stuff where people were coming from. And sometimes I get surprised by saying like, oh, like this is where y'all are coming from. And then it also helps me know like channels that are working in terms of what I want to use to be able to like drive growth. And now that you say it, I just, all of it just, you know, nicely working with email marketing as well. So I really love that, you know, you broke it down and, you know, went really deep on it. Now, you mentioned CRM tools, and I'm wondering in terms of analytics, right? What are your thoughts on Google Analytics and CRM tools for tracking?
Yeah, I mean, those are very essential because, like I said, your traffic source is an essential tool when it comes down to the people that you drive into your email marketing. You know, with email marketing, it doesn't work in isolation. Email marketing works a whole lot with your traffic source. Now, where is your traffic coming in? Is it Google? Is it social media? You know, if it's Google, Google Analytics is very good because you even want to know who is tapping. Where's the highest chunk of the people? If what you're selling is to be sold to people in the US, you know, and you have like your pricing and everything, but your website or your products keep showing up for people in India, you know, it's a problem. Why? Because these people cannot afford what you sell, right? So you need to work your SEO, you need to work all of those things so that it's attracts the right set of people and it's being seen by the right set of people. Okay. So yeah, it's really very important. Even with your CRM, now your CRM would help you to better read this because usually when you want to make money generating decisions, then you can then incorporate your Google Analytics, your social media, your this, then read all of these things so that you're not wasting time, right? First you start to get the right people in. Okay, then when you get the right people in, your work is easy with email marketing because now speaking to them becomes easy. Now with your CRM, you can now say, okay, you know what, these people that are giving me plenty money are coming from Google. What do I do? I will run to Google, go and optimize my Google business profile, put my SEO well, position myself very well on Google, make it very easy for people to find me on Google. And I put it there. Why? Because I realized that a good chunk of my quality people are coming from Google. Now, from your CRM, you can then say, oh, no, my highest paying people, I noticed that they're coming from LinkedIn. Oh, my gosh, LinkedIn is where I'm going to die. You know, I will put all my engagement on. Okay, my well wishes are just coming from Instagram. Anyways, I just put the reels so I'll make them happy, make them feel all right, but I'll not spend too much time. I can just schedule it and put it there. So you are able to make money generating decisions, right? Then you know where to focus your energy. You know when to focus your time. You know when to focus what you want to focus, right? So you're not wasting your time. Time is important.
That's so important. Now, we have heard so many things. I mean, I have a lot of key takeaways, but I need to tell you just how you can join CC's community. She has the Efficiency Entrepreneurs Lounge. And once you join in, you get access to unlimited tools and resources to help you empower your journey, work smarter, live a life of purpose, and a whole lot more. Now, the link to this lounge is going to be in the show notes because I need you to get in there to be able to get more from all that Tisi has told us. Now, Tisi, let me ask you, where can our listeners follow you or learn more about your work, aside, of course, joining your community, the lounge?
So you can follow me on Instagram, TC Business Solutions. You can follow me on LinkedIn, TC Okore. I'm literally on almost all the social media platforms, but let's just restrict for this Instagram and LinkedIn. That would work. And you can send me a connection request. I'll definitely accept it.
Yeah, definitely. And remember that it's TCTEE Business Solution, just so you don't miss it. I'm going to be dropping the links in the show notes as well. Today has been so powerful and inspirational, especially with how deep you can go with your email marketing analytics and the fact that you don't even need to do graphs and charts. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a visual kind of person. I like to see the graphs and charts. So if the software is going to give me graphs and charts, somehow I really like it. I have like this template that I created for myself that would turn the data into like a chart for me. So I'm more of a graphs and charts person, but I keep it simple anyway. So we Google shit. But what we have seen today, you don't even need to get to that level just by looking at what is in your email software, starting from there. So if you're wondering, I'm not a data person, how do I want to do this? Just by looking at it, are people opening? Very key questions. Are they opening? Are they clicking? Are they opening but not clicking? Are they responding? Are they seeing your emails? Are you having like high bounce rate? You know, all of these little simple things will help you start reading the behavior to know what it is that works, what doesn't work, what they are interested in. The second key takeaway I want you to note is that a quiet list is not a dead list. That's so powerful. So we don't go throwing away something that we can still work. So you heard what she said. Are they opening, even if it's as low as 20%? Are people opening? Then there's a chance that they could just be quiet and not dead. And so you go ahead following the steps that she told you, of course, to be able to get those people, revive them. And then you use every single thing to make financial decisions.
We would like to find out how you became the automation queen, because I'm so sure our listeners will want to key into the soft life as well.
I mean, I feel like it's for everyone. Personally, for me, like I said, I believe that everyone deserves, you know, a me time. Everyone deserves to feel themselves, understand themselves, know themselves, and just live life, right? I believe in living life, because what's life when you can't live it, right? Especially to the fullest. So for me, it didn't happen because I wanted it to happen like that. It happened because I love me. Yeah. I'm that selfish, okay, to me. I love me. I love my space. I love my freedom. But life has its way of putting itself and try to manipulate things. And sometimes it can be very stressful. Sometimes there are certain things that you need to get done. You're not able to get, you know, get it done at a particular time because life happens. So personally, from my own experience, I started off, you know, operations, like, you know, and all of that. Business started, you know, I started moving on. And like, I mean, it was good until I knew that I had to do so much. I needed to expand, right? Particularly, I knew that I needed to not only have time for myself, for the kids, but also have time for, you know, my growth, because I wanted to grow. And, you know, the business was good. I'm going to be very specific about a particular example when it comes down to automations. Now, it, you know, it's one thing to have you do all of these amazing things for other persons, but I feel like you know that you're good at what you do when you finally do it for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see the magic. Because it's one thing to do something for you. You know, when is a doctor heal themselves? I mean, so many doctors are out there, they can't even solve their own problems. Now, you beat the match when you can do it for yourself. That, for me, is basically what makes you stand out. And so when I talk about, you know, systems automation, I don't talk about it from afar. I talk about it for myself because I am my very first experience before, you know, using it for other persons. Now, back to my story. You know, I used to be very keen on social media. I'm still very keen on social media, don't get me wrong. However, I had this whole issue with Instagram. Oh my God, it was terrible. And my Instagram went down for the very first time. Yes, because ever since then, I think I've had issues with Instagram for like almost 3-4 times. And no, I'm no longer stressed about it. When it happens, I'm like, okay, you'll be fine. Get yourself back, whatever I get yourself back. But the very first time it happened, I was almost out of my mind, right? Because everything I did with my business has just been on Instagram, because I like things very easy for myself. I don't like stress. I mean, let's have a conversation, let's do close it, everything, you know. I don't want to stress myself for anything. However, there's something I was missing up, continuation, sustainability. How sustainable was what I was doing at that particular time wasn't. I know that I love my freedom. I know that I'm very high free-spirited. But I didn't understand how much of a box I was putting myself in, all because, you know, I was just stuck up on using somebody else's space instead of building my own space, right? And I don't know if I've shared this already, but that's when I was able to hone deep into building my own email marketing system. And it didn't just start off with, oh, because I know that some people be like 1 billion subscribers, 10,000 subscribers. You know, looking at the numbers, I love numbers, right? Numbers is key. But your numbers without content, your number without value, when your numbers are not moving and not making a certain level of mark, then it's useless. And that's the thing about data. You can have big figures, but the big figures are not moving weight. If the big figures do not mean nothing, then it doesn't make sense, right? And that's what I've always known, obviously, because of my background. However, I decided to implement this myself because, you know, I always believe that innovation comes especially for me when I feel like I'm in a box, I'm stuck, I don't know what else to do. And then my brain starts to work and I'm like, okay, what do I do to solve my problem, right? And now in trying to solve my problem, I had to intentionally incorporate creating an automation strategy that works for me. Now, I know that I already shared the part where, you know, I am able to reach through data to understand my customers' journey, understand their behavior, understand what they want, when they want it, how they want it. Now, that for me is the game changer when it comes down to your automation strategy, right? Now, I had to implement it for myself. And that was how first I was able to turn my 97 followers into the gold mine that I currently have. Because I would say this with all confidence that period of my life was the foundation to the success that I have right now when it comes down to my business. Now, I have my business and I'm able to do other things, right? I'm able to have my kids, I'm able to have my family, I'm able to do this, I'm able to do that. I mean, if I wake up tomorrow and I'm like, hey, I need to do something else, promise you something, nothing else is going to be lacking. If I decide now I want to just take my bag and go somewhere, I can take my bag and do whatever I want to do. But my entire life is not going to get on a pause or because I need to do something else that I'm not sure of. Because sometimes I go into some very risky, risky investments that could literally give you high blood pressure, right? You know, when you do certain things and you're like holding your chest, right? It happens. But in those periods, does it mean that your entire life would stop all because you're trying to take a step that you're not even sure of? Now, the step can work because as a business owner, you need to understand that risk taking is part of the game. That's the truth. Now, some risks you would take, if they're not strategic, it could actually backfire on you. Have I had certain risky investment that has literally backfired? Yes. But did he drain me? No. Did he stop anything? No. Why? Because I had other things working for me, and that's where automation comes in. Because you're not magic. You're human. And anything can happen. But when those things happen, would your life stop? No. Now, I didn't want my life to stop up because maybe I had a quarrel with my husband. Yeah, it happens. You can be very emotional. You had a very heated argument. And so you're like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to work again. I'm not going to. Yeah, I've done it before. And I sleep the entire day. And I'm like, you know what? Burn everything. I don't want to do anything anymore, right? And I don't. I literally would not do nothing the entire day because I'm angry. But who cares? My clients do not know that I just had a heated conversation with somebody. Like, nobody knows. Nobody cares. Nobody has to know because it is you trying to build a legacy for yourself. And whatever emotions you face that particular time will pass and life continues. But would your entire life pause or because you're emotional at a certain time? Those are things I had to think about for me to start to implement my workflow automations, start to put in all of these things in my life because I didn't want my life to stop all because life decided to happen to me. My business is an essential part in my life, right? It could also be a weakness because I could stay all day working and I won't even feel it. I won't even know when night has come. Like, I won't even know. Unless you come tell me, okay, you know what, it's time for you to leave or do that. But I could stay all day doing stuff. Work. There's no end to work, you know. But what gives you that whole thing that says, okay, you know what, it's time for you to stop? Now, I was able to build an automated system for the kids, for my life, everything. Now, is sometimes some people would say, oh, see, it's too much. I mean, it might be too much for you, but it gives me peace, right? Because I love what I love. I love to have fun. I love to do all of those good things. Trust me, I love life to the fullest. But I realized that if I don't make it, if I don't incorporate it into my life, it would never happen. If I don't schedule and set up a time where, okay, you know what, from this time to this time, block this time so that I'm able to hang out, go for dinner, go for this, go for that, I'm able to like integrate it and automate it across my entire flow, it doesn't happen. And so I would sit one place. Like, there was a time in my life where I literally would sit one place. I mean, trust me, I can talk about my clients. But those are my clients. How about I talk about myself and why I decided to do it for myself? Because I could literally stay the entire day. But does it ever finish? No. But what's the point making so much money or even making no money? And then you do so much work. And then at the end of the day, nothing. Right? So it can be a whole lot. But I right now still do not want my life just one-sided, right? I want a balanced life, right? I want good health. I want amazing family, brilliant children, my relationship with God. Like, I personally, My ambitiousness doesn't just stop at making money. It basically checks all of the marks for me. I need to be healthy. I need to have fun. I need to experience life. I need to take risks. I need to do all of that. And I still need to show up for my clients. And I still need to show up for my business. And that's where automation comes in, right? And one more thing before I give it back to you. The truth is, one thing I've realized about automation is that people can tend to limit automation to the tiniest things, like, or rather to the huge things like, oh, you need to code or you need to do that. When I think about automation, I think about efficiency. How can I better perform? How can I better be my best self? Now, when I started to think about automation that way, it started to feel simple. The world on its own, automation, I know so many people that it gives them heart attack. They'd be like, oh my God, like, it's such a heavy word. But that's actually your mind. That's you thinking it's heavy. When you understand that it's just meant to help you live the life that you want, meant to keep you sane, meant to just help you better be efficient with yourself, right, with your mind space, with the peace that you desire, you will start to embrace the word automation and understand that it's in every single thing you do in your life. Your email marketing is communication. You're just calling it email marketing because you want to make it look like a very big thing, but it's communication, communicating with the people who want you. They have a problem. You have the solution. You're just communicating intentionally and consistently so that they can better understand who you are and how you can solve their problem. That way you accept automation. That's it.
And so, Tisdy, any last words in regards taking all this data that we have looked at and making financial decisions? Smart ones.
I would say the first thing is, the easiest way to get email marketing to work for you is just when you get started. I mean, start and give yourself time to nurture, to build that relationship, and the sales will come. Don't have this mindset that email marketing would give you quick money. No, that's not the sole aim, right? It's meant for you to nurture that relationship, build that strong relationship, let people to trust you. The magic is that once people trust you, they will buy from you. It's just automatic. Now that's where the power is. So you nurture your relationship, you make your relationship stronger, and you solve people's problems. Once you start to think about it in that mindset, your bank account will start to smile at you. So you nurture, you building, and you solve people's problems. That's all.
And thank you so much. It has been so interesting and amazing having you on Email Marketing Experiment. Thank you for taking us behind the scenes, Tisdy. And guys, remember that in here we go behind the scenes to see what works and what doesn't work in email marketing, what we have tried actually that worked and didn't work, right? So behind the scenes of failed and successful campaigns. And today you have actually seen both a failed one, a successful one, and how we turn things around. Till next time, this is Email Marketing Experiment. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, and stay tuned.